would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Bible, and we're going to be looking at the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy today. Just one verse, verse 19. As you're turning there, I should probably warn you. Stephanie and I watched the movie last night, A Great Awakening. You familiar with this movie? It's the movie that came out in April to tell the story about the friendship between Benjamin Franklin and the fiery, thundering preacher George Whitefield. I'm going to do my best not to use the phrase "methinks" today. I'm going to try not to pound on the pulpit and yell at you. But I would commend that movie to you. It's a very wonderful story of the gospel being proclaimed clearly during that time frame of our beginning country. Today we're looking at a short commandment, again only two words in the Hebrew, the eighth commandment, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19. And you shall not steal. Let's pray together. Father, such a short passage for us to consider today. Such a simple idea. Of course, it makes sense to all of us that we should keep this commandment. We pray today that you would open our eyes and help us to see the ways that we fail to keep it. And show us our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Do you steal things? Are you a thief? Have you robbed anyone? Are you a breaker of the eighth commandment? The statistics on breaking this commandment are fairly significant. A survey done by Business.com in 2025 of U.S. workers said 67% said that they had committed at least one type of theft at their current job. And 41% of them said that they had done so in more than one way. When asked how they had committed theft in their job, 54% said they would do personal tasks on the clock. 19% said they take longer breaks than they are given. 18% said they use the work printer or copier for their own personal use. 14% said they take work supplies home for their personal use. And 11% said that they sleep on the job. A survey in January of this year on the hotel industry polled the staff asking where they had seen what kinds of things that they had seen taken from hotel rooms. They listed towels, bathrobes, blankets, pillows, hangers, hair dryers, dishes, and even remote controls. And when the hotel guests were surveyed, 87% admitted taking something from their hotel room at least once. More than a quarter of those said that they do it every time they go to a hotel. The gas station industry estimates that fuel drive-offs cost the industry close to $100 million annually. A LendingTree survey in October of 2025 of consumers found that 27% of retail customers using the self-checkout lanes purposefully took an item without scanning it and paying for it. That's up 12% from 2 years before. And note this, households earning over $100,000 were more than twice as likely to do it as those that earn $50,000 or less. Dan Ariely, a professor of psychology and behavioral economics at Duke, about a decade ago wrote a book called The Honest Truth About Dishonesty. And he argued that basically everybody cheats, lies, and steals. But most of us only do it a little bit. Everybody feels that doing it just a little bit is acceptable. It's okay to steal a little bit. Small things, you know, like a towel from a hotel, or the answers for a test, or illegally downloading music or a movie. You can steal a little bit and still be a good, upstanding citizen. Of course, here's the problem. God said, you shall not steal. Not even a little bit. And as we're going to see in a minute, this commandment, like the others that we've been looking at all summer, it's not just about the act of stealing something. We break this commandment in so many other ways as well. We are all breakers of the eighth commandment. So let's take a few moments and reflect on this part of God's law, and let's look and see what the commandment actually is, how we break it, why it's such a big deal when we break it, and lastly, how we can keep it. So first of all, what is the commandment? Well, as we've been doing, we look at the words themselves in the Hebrew, and the Hebrew word here for stealing is the word ganaf. And its plain meaning is to steal or to carry something away by stealth. But it has a wide range of meaning. It can be used for burglary, breaking into a home or a building. It can be used for robbery, taking something by violence. It can be used for larceny, taking something without permission and not returning it. It can be used for things like shoplifting and embezzlement and extortion. And when God says, you shall not steal, he's thinking of all of those things that are forbidden for us. But if that's the range of the meaning of the word, what's behind this word? What's the root of this word? What is the foundation of this commandment? This commandment is fundamentally about being a good steward. That's what the root of the eighth commandment is all about. Everything that we have has been given to us by the Lord. It belongs to him. And he gives it to us, and that he calls on us to be good stewards with it. We are called to manage and protect and care for and make proper use of all that the Lord entrusts to us. That's what we are doing when we keep the eighth commandment. And when we break it, at the core, we are failing to be good stewards with what the Lord provides. So what are the ways that we break this commandment? Well, you may have noticed in the Heidelberg Catechism, and it's also the case in the Westminster Larger Catechism, that they both talk about this commandment by talking about the sins that are forbidden and the duties that are required. It helps give us some structure to thinking about the ways that we break this commandment. What are the sins forbidden in the Eighth Commandment? Well, we can think about the Hebrew word and what it means and the whole range of meaning that we just mentioned, right? Taking anything that doesn't belong to us, taking something from a hotel room, taking office supplies from work for our personal use. Those are all things that are forbidden, sins that are forbidden in the Eighth Commandment. But we can expand our understanding of the ways that we steal as well. We can steal from the government by underpaying or not paying our taxes, or by making false claims of disability. The government can steal from the citizens by taking our money and spending it wastefully and recklessly. We can steal from our employers by not working hard, not putting in a full day of work, or by padding our expense reports, not being honest about our receipts. We can steal intellectual property, other people's ideas and work, in words. We can steal by illegally downloading music or movies. I saw a statistic this week. I'm not sure how accurate this is. But the statistic said that the most illegally downloaded movie of all time, The Passion of the Christ. Our Heidelberg Catechism has some more ways that we steal. We steal by cheating and swindling our neighbors by false schemes and plans. We steal by selling or producing fraudulent merchandise, by charging someone excessive interest, by our greed, our pointless squandering of the gifts that God gives to us. And in fact, you may know that in Malachi chapter 3, God tells his people that they are robbing him, that they are robbing God by not bringing the tithe to the church. The Westminster Larger Catechism gives us even more ways that we steal. We steal by, and it uses this phrase, man-stealing. And it was the context there of kidnapping or trafficking another person. We steal by creating contracts that are unjust, by using extortion or bribery, creating needless lawsuits, by coveting, having an inordinate affection of worldly goods. We steal by envying the prosperity of others. We steal by participating, as the Catechism says, in wasteful gaming. Most scholars believe that what they had in mind there when they wrote this idea of wasteful gaming was the reckless spending of money, and probably specifically the ideas of playing the lotteries and gambling. Gambling is one of the fastest growing addictions today. Many professional sports, if you watch them on TV, will actually advertise on ways to gamble on the game that you're watching. It's wasteful gaming. We steal by not being generous, back to this idea of being a steward of God's resources that have been entrusted to us. These are all the sins that are forbidden in the Eighth Commandment. But the Eighth Commandment is not just about the sins forbidden. It's also about the duties that are required. Again, the Heidelberg Catechism, it says, doing whatever I can for the good of my neighbor. That's how we keep this commandment. Treating others as I would want to be treated by them. Working faithfully and diligently so that we have resources to share with those who are in need. Cultivating a spirit of generosity in ourselves and in our families. Pastor and author and theologian Kent Hughes says this, "Every time I give, I declare that money does not control me. Perpetual generosity is a perpetual de-deification of money. It's proving that money is not our God." The Westminster Larger Catechism helps us to think about the duties required. What does it mean to keep the Eighth Commandment? It means being truthful and faithful and just when we make business deals or we sign contracts. It means being frugal, careful with how we spend our money. Again, tying to this idea of being generous and having money to be able to help those in need. It means avoiding unnecessary lawsuits. And then the Westminster Larger Catechism says this, keeping the Eighth Commandment, it's an endeavor by all just and lawful means to picture and to preserve and to further the wealth and the outward estate of others as well as our own. Right? It's pursuing prosperity and flourishing of others and ourselves, not for prosperity's sake, not just for wealth's sake, but for the enjoyment of God's good gifts and for the giving of God's good gifts. When we think of the duties required in the Eighth Commandment, we come back again and again to this idea of stewardship. We keep the commandment by being good stewards with the Lord's resources that He has entrusted to us. What we have is from Him, and it belongs to Him, and we are called to be a good steward. And being a good steward means saving and giving and enjoying the resources the Lord provides. These are the sins that are forbidden and the duties that are required in the Eighth Commandment. But why is breaking the Eighth Commandment such a big deal? Why is breaking this commandment so much of a problem? Let's remind ourselves of a story in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, chapters 6 and 7. You can look at it later this afternoon, but the context there is the fall of the city of Jericho. You may remember that the Lord gave Joshua and the people very specific instructions about what they were supposed to do in order to bring the city down. But the Lord also gave the people very specific instructions that they were not to take any of the possessions or any of the wealth of the people in the city. We're told that after the city was conquered, a man named Achan disobeyed that command from the Lord. He took some of the possessions. He took some of the wealth for himself. And we're told that the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Isn't that interesting? The anger of the Lord didn't just burn against Achan, but against the people of Israel. We read that after taking Jericho, Joshua sent the army to conquer the next city, Ai. And as the army arrived, they were soundingly defeated. And Joshua, not knowing what was going on, fell on his face and cried out to the Lord, "Why would the Lord do this to us?" And the Lord answered him. He said, "Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings." Eventually, Achan was brought to Joshua, and Joshua asked him what he had done. Remarkably, Achan confessed. He said he took a beautiful cloak, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold, and he hid them in his tent. We're told that Joshua and the people took Achan, the silver, the gold, the cloak, Achan's sons and daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all of his belongings. Achan and his family and all of the animals were killed, and all that he stole and all of his belongings were burned. Stones were piled up over the bodies and the burned possessions as a reminder. And the place where it all took place was given a name, the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. Breaking the Eighth Commandment's a big deal. It's a big problem. Why such a reaction? Well, first and foremost, it's because the Lord God Almighty said, "You shall not steal." That's what the word of the Lord says. That in and of itself makes breaking it a big deal. But there's another reason why it's such a big deal, why it's such a big problem. When we steal, we are showing that we don't really trust the Lord. We don't really believe that He loves us and cares for us, that He knows what is best for us. We don't trust the Lord to provide what we need, that what He provides will be enough, sufficient. When we break the Eighth Commandment, we show that we are not content or satisfied with what the Lord provides for us. We show that we do not trust Him. And not trusting the Lord goes to the very heart of what we say we believe as Christians. It goes to the very core of God's character, of His nature, who He's told us that He is. Paul in 1 Timothy 6 that we read earlier in our service, we saw this tension between hoping and trusting in the riches of the world and hoping and trusting in the God who provides for us. We either put our trust in what we have, or we put our trust in the one who richly blesses us with all that we have. This is why breaking the Eighth Commandment is such a problem. In all of the ways that we can break it, that's why the Lord takes it so seriously, as we saw with the story of Achan. Brothers and sisters in Christ, because breaking the Eighth Commandment is such a serious offense, it makes the question of how we can keep it all the more important. I like to mention to you from time to time a little book by Thomas Chalmers, 18th and 19th century Scottish Presbyterian pastor and theologian and professor, leader in the church. He wrote a book called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. He argued in that book that it doesn't work to just remove something in our lives that is wrong or that is sinful or that is harmful. It doesn't work to just remove an idol from our hearts, because our hearts will just fill that space up with another idol, with another sin. What is needed is to replace our idol, replace our sin with an expulsive power of a new and better affection. To fill the void in our heart with a biblical, good, powerful affection or love. The way to be a keeper of the eighth commandment is we need to have our hearts so gripped by God's love for us that we are, that our desires and our motivation and our enablement is to trust the Lord and to obey His commandments. God's love and His grace to us is demonstrated in the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the new and better affection that has expulsive power. It has the power to expel our sins of breaking the eighth commandment. Think of it, brothers and sisters in Christ, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, He was crucified between two other men. Two other men who were being crucified with Him. Who were they? The Gospel of Mark tells us that they were robbers. They were thieves. They were men who had stolen. They were men who had broken the eighth commandment. And as we look at this scene, as we come at it from our perspective, we look at it and see two men who were breakers of the eighth commandment, who had been condemned to die, and they were getting what they justly deserve. And then we have another man in between them, the Lord Jesus, who was innocent and righteous, and He was being killed illegally and unjustly. But that's just our perspective. Think about it from God's perspective. There weren't just two thieves on the cross. There were three. Two thieves were dying for their own sins, and one man was dying for the sins of other thieves and other robbers. Jesus became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became a thief. He took on the status of being a thief so that we thieves could have our sins forgiven. So that any thief, any breaker of the eighth commandment who puts their faith and trust in Jesus and believes in Him and is in a relationship with Him gets their sins paid for and eternal life, has the righteousness of God credited to their account. And by the way, the first thief to experience that was the one that was on the cross next to Jesus. This day you will be with me in paradise, as he trusted in Jesus. It's true for any thief, any breaker of the eighth commandment in this room who believes and trusts in Jesus as well. God would punish His own Son as a thief, as a breaker of the eighth commandment, to give us thieves eternal life and to make us His sons and daughters, adopting us into His family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the more that the truth and the reality of the gospel of God's grace and mercy to us grips our hearts and our minds, the more it will be an expulsive power in our lives. The more that our affections are moved by God's grace and love, the more we will be motivated and empowered to root out all of our sins in the ways that we break the eighth commandment. The more that we see what the Lord has done for us, how trustworthy He is as He's kept all of His promises, the more that we can realize that He is certainly worthy of our trust in caring for us, in providing us what we need, in blessing us with things in this world with which we are to be good stewards. Let's pray together.